Anyway, welcome to today's edition of $2 Domestics.
I am Philip Android, as always. We established last time, as always.
And I'm still Chuckles. I'm not a sock account. I'm a real person.
That's what he wants you to think.
Yeah. Anyway, we got this new recording set up. Phil is super busy planning his wedding.
I'm bad at math. That's going to give you the breakdown of how many days away. But I'm bad at math, so today's Wednesday and the wedding's on Saturday. I'll just say that. That doesn't involve subtraction or anything.
And so it's all this. I personally think you're getting married just as a scam to, it's all part of this scheme to get me to set foot in, Ron Tom's.
it's been a long con. When I met my fiance there, almost 5 years ago, it was all, at the time I thought she was just someone I was meeting to eventually get you to step foot there. It was going to be the long narrative. It's finally coming to fruition. So
you're like Chuckles hates this place. I am going to meet a girl here, and then we are gonna have a post wedding celebratory night. Is that a honeymoon?
A post
wedding celebratory night. That's a honeymoon, I think, by definition. I really hope you guys don't have marital bliss inside of Ron Tom's, because that would be awkward for everybody there, and everyone would judge you terribly.
Although, I bet that ping pong table's probably had that happen to it before. I don't know.
It's no stranger to tiny balls.
I'm sure any number of those Timbers players that I may or may not have seen at Ron Tom's a couple weeks ago probably would have also tried to get that. You know how they are with balls.
Yeah.
They're good. They're good at swinging other sex stalker sex puns.
Yeah.
that is too hot for me to think clearly to make.
Right.
So it's totally all a scam to get you to step foot in Ron Tom's, but it worked.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it looks like it's going to work. We still have a couple days.
It's true. You can still blow this, Phil. I know you're a Timbers fan, so losing in the last 15 minutes isn't necessarily a rare thing.
Oh, my God.
But actually, is that joke still relevant anymore? I don't even think that joke's still relevant.
You know what? It's more of now it's everything could go amazing in the last couple minutes.
Right.
So, I suppose before, we could go into this wedding, and then, right up until the very end, I don't know if the wedding would work, but it's not like I'd break up. We would just maintain our current relationship, it's one of those things going into it, it might be a draw. Maybe the wedding got pushed off, but we're still in a good place, we still want to get married as a single, but, at the last minute, Jack fucking Jewsbury's going to score and we're going to get married. That's what's going to happen, pretty much. we're going to have Jack Jewsbury do a flying no-look kick near the front of the venue, and all of a sudden we'll be married. It's going to be amazing.
You salty dog.
Legend. Not even sarcastically. I don't know if... it's hard to tell on Twitter, right? Especially with a lot of the people that I follow.
Yeah, I can't tell anything about Twitter anymore. But here's the deal. So we actually have a lot of ground to cover.
Yes.
So let's start off with, first off, the U.S. Open Cup.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I forgot about that. Did that happen? I don't think they played that game, dude.
Which one?
Which Open Cup
game? I'm just talking about the tournament in general.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Timbers, because I'm pretty sure they didn't play that game.
Yeah, I don't remember them playing that game either.
Me neither. the lies we tell ourselves. I definitely got the Cosmos upset wrong. We got it right the first time when we called it against NYCFC. But Red Bulls actually did their job. With Sal Zizo getting a goal, right?
Yeah, Sal Zizo had a goal in that game. It was actually a good... The Open Cup, was good for former Timbers because not only did Sal Zizzo score, but Lavelle Palmer scored from like outside of the 18. It was your typical face Palmer shot, but this time it actually went in.
So is it one of those things where like maybe with Palmer, I never quite knew if he was trying to score, if he was just scared that the other team might get too close to the goal, so it was a clearance. You know, like
he's clearing. Wait. So he's clearing the ball in the offensive in there. Third.
Yeah, like, yeah. He's like that worried. You know,
like he's like, I better not let them get to like, the half field line.
He's like, when in doubt, kick it out, man. Like, you know, and you know what? He got lucky this time, I think. So he was going for the clearance of the game and ended up scoring.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And honestly, the other thing with Palmer, like, his hair game is strong.
Yeah.
And is he still rocking the, like, the dread pigtails?
I don't, I'm not the kind of guy that focuses on the hair of the players.
Liar.
The whole top knot thing, that's just not, like, that's not something that's a part of my life.
That's just top knot something that's part of your life. I think you're just trying to throw everyone off, so when you finally pull out the top knot, no one will see it coming.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You are correct.
Either that or cornrows. You could probably not pull off Shara's hairdo, but it would be amazing if you tried.
I think it'd look pretty good.
Yeah, I think so. You might just have to wait till his birthday to do it, though, because like everything he does on his birthday is amazing. So if you try to be like him on his birthday, it would probably work out for you.
For sure. I'm trying
Huh?
So what other games did you catch at the Open Cup?
Honestly, not as many as I wanted to, which means none, actually. It's this last 2 weeks have been all of, like, I had a soccer schedule. I had a detail. I had hopes. I had dreams. I had wishes, all soccer-related. I told other people to watch games because we're going to watch together, and frankly didn't watch any of them, which has been very sad. It's been very sad, which we'll get to when we start talking about the greatest week in Portland soccer history.
For sure.
Did you get a chance to watch any?
But sorry,
did you get a chance to watch any of the Open Cup games?
Did I?
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched the RSL versus Timbers, which didn't happen. I caught Galaxy in San Jose. But, yeah. And then I did see parts of the Cosmos Red Bulls. But really, right now the storyline is it's all MLS now. So, I mean, in terms of results, all the non-MLS sides are knocked out, which is kind of a bummer.
Because this, especially, you know, if the Timbers aren't in it anymore, it's a lot easier to root for someone that's not even in the same league as you, unless it's a team coached by Eric Winalda. Because that's the other thing. Actually, is he even still, he's not still attached to the Silverbacks anymore, is he?
I don't think he's officially affiliated.
Was he ever? I think he Skyped them a couple times. You know, that's the other thing. Like,
no, he was definitely the coach. He was definitely the coach because he got sent off in the 5-card game.
Oh no, totally. But like, from what I remember hearing, he did like half of the training sessions through Skype, which is kind of ridiculous.
But, well, he's just preparing to be Bruce Arena. That's it. I mean.
He's like, all right, guys, I'm not going to travel, but you know, I'm going to FaceTime. It's cool.
You know, I got these things I need to do today. You're fine. You're fine.
I'll Snapchat you my directions.
Yeah.
Which I'm going to have someone explain to me what that is. I'm pretty sure it's only a mechanism just in dick pics, and then it's kind of awkward because now all these soccer teams are signing up for it.
I
don't know if I really want to see Caleb's blueprint, you know? Like, I bet it's glorious, but that's the next level. So,
for sure. Caleb Porter panty shots.
What was that?
Caleb Porter panty shots. You're talking about his blueprints.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, so clearly his blueprints are referring to his boxer shorts.
Oh, of course. reception isn't great. I thought you said Caleb Porter sucks. I'm like, that's just out of nowhere and negative.
No.
Shame on you.
I would never say that about Caleb Porter.
Porter out. You heard it. Chuckle started it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was the Open Cup. So all we have left are L.A., Real Salt Lake, Kansas City, the Red Bulls, Chicago Fire, Dynamo, Orlando City, Philadelphia Union. So yeah, it's kind of boring.
Nah. I don't know how the bracket's set up, but I think I'm going to call. I don't know if it's possible. A Philly Chicago final in which no one wins.
Like the actual tournament loses.
Yeah, like that's when the aliens invade or something. You know, like I don't know. Like somehow there will not be. I am going to go out on a limb and look foolish next time they play and lose. But I'm calling a Chicago victory if they're still in it. It'll be like DC United.
Yeah, well, if Palmer keeps getting hot.
Right? And it's, you know, was it 2 years ago, DC? Was the worst team in the league and won the Open Cup?
Yeah, it was the last time Real Salt Lake beat us. Because I remember I went down for that game,
yeah.
They knocked the Timbers out, and then they lost to DC United in the final.
And then they lost to everyone else as well. They came up second place in every possible trophy that year.
I remember because that was the same.
I have no mercy.
That was the same year that they got. They had the rule change about the CONCACAF Champions League, right? And so
Yep. They
were in line to get the Champions League, but then they changed the rules and we got in instead.
Yeah, which I guess they were going to get it through being second place. Runner-up in the U.S. Open Cup, right?
Yeah.
And then that's where they yoinked it from.
What a terrible year to be a Salt Lake fan.
You know what? Like, but honestly, with all the terrible things they did to us in league play, no pity. I mean, always no pity, you know, being in the Rose City and all, but, oh my god, the number of times we got Ramondo.
Yeah, for sure.
So now, a little bit removed for it, I might feel bad for him, like, retrospectively looking back.
Yeah. So here's the deal. So that's Open Cup, and then we actually had some pretty entertaining league play this weekend. So which games did you catch?
Let's see. None of them.
Not a single one.
I don't know. I set up some notifications on my phone for goals. I followed for fantasy related purposes. Because even though I couldn't watch the games because I was doing wedding-related stuff, I still wanted to, you know, be kept abreast of the situation.
Yeah.
I'm liking the Robbie Finley, Kai Kamara connection in the Columbus win.
Ooh, yeah. I finally bit the bullet and got a Kamara for fantasy. I was like, all right. Finally going to happen.
Yeah, now he's going to go in a slump.
That's typically how it works.
I captained him. I just brought in Finley for this last week, and so some good points there, even though on the whole, not great, because I also had a Spindola, so that was a red card. Did you see that selfie that kid took at the Sounders game of a Spindola walking off the field after he got his red card?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he's someone, he was like some kid in the crowd at CenturyLink. And snapped a selfie with the Spindola, like, walking off the field, like, looking disgusted. Yeah, it's one of the only times that I've been like, all right, Seattle fan, like, good on you. Like, it was just a great shot. Like, it was, yeah, it was, I saw that tweeted. It was one of those, like, while you were gone tweets.
Yeah.
I logged in and saw, I was like, holy crap, this is great.
No, speaking of Seattle, I mean, we should mention that they actually got a win.
Yeah, that goal from Byron Mears, man.
Congratulations, we got to win.
It's funny because I wish that they never got any wins. They took that goal came right near the end, right? And from their right back hitting a wonder goal. Like, it was a hell of a goal.
88 minutes.
Yeah, it was... I mean, but honestly, as far as right back scoring a goal to win it in the last second, pretty sure Timbers won there, because I'm pretty sure Tyrone Mears was looking at the goal when he hit the ball. Jack Jewsbury was not.
For sure. For sure.
So he just threw his body at it, let it happen.
So even at scoring at the death, we're better than Seattle.
Oh, of course, obviously. They'll tell us they invented it, but...
Yeah.
No, that sets up the table pretty close at the top. I'm not looking at the table right now, because how I usually do that is on my phone, which I'm using to talk with you. But we're a point back, or 2 points back from the top of the table, I think.
Well, let me just put it this way. Let's see. Yeah, there's, 5 points separating, the number 6 team from the number 1 team in the West.
Wow.
So, Seattle and Vancouver are tied for first at 32 points. And then below them are Portland and Galaxy at 31.
So, and I think there's a way that if all the results go right, we could be on top of the West for like an hour.
I know, right?
Yeah. It's like before Vancouver and LA and Seattle play.
Yeah. Well, and that and that Seattle DC match was actually kind of a big deal because currently, I mean, even though you look at the East and realize their second place is at 24 points, they wouldn't even be qualifying for the playoffs in the Western Conference. I know that's dumb. I don't like saying that, but just for perspective. And DC United still is top for the Supporters Shield at 35 points. So Seattle, by beating DC United and squeaking out that win, they actually gained some ground on DC United for the Supporters Shield.
Oh, yeah. No, it's crazy, too, because I was trying to remember how the playoffs work this year. And I'm not helped by the fact that I swear it changes every year. And my brain jumped back to, like, 6 years ago or five, six years ago, the one when RSL won the Cup. By being the champions of the East Coast. You remember that? Like, so there was, like, the top three from each coast, and then it was the next two or four, regardless of conference. So RSL went through as an East Coast team. Can you imagine if they were still doing that? You know, like, we would have, yeah.
Give it a week. It will happen again. As long as
it will change.
They'll change it, like, to make sure Gerard gets into the playoffs. I mean, like...
They'll have it. So they can get their Lampard Gerard final.
Ugh! Don't even get me started on that garbage.
And then at halftime they'll have a Pirlo wine tasting thing in center field, and it'll be amazing. And I'll watch just for that.
Well, here's the deal. So okay, like we'll get to the Women's World Cup here in a second because obviously that's the biggest event. Of possibly the year. But, like, I hate these times when these... I hate these moments when they happen to a certain extent because then everyone starts talking about soccer.
Oh, you like to be the only person doing it?
No, it's not that. It's just... It's like... Here we go. So, I was driving to school and I was listening to talk radio, which was my first mistake, right? Some idiot was filling in for Dan Patrick. And Dan Patrick's a pretty, like, diplomatic guy about soccer. You know, he's come to Portland. He's had the experience. But whoever it was who was filling in for him was just ridiculous. And the problem I have is that they recycle the same narrative, like, once every 4 years to be like, will soccer matter now? And it's like...
What does this World Cup mean as far as soccer in America goes?
And, like, that wouldn't bother me, but when they completely ignore the actual game that happened to discuss whether or not it mattered...
Or ignore, like, the league that could help promote the future.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's one of those things, like, I'm only seeing a few NWSL shoutouts from different places. Like,
once did they mention the NWSL in any conversation about it.
Yeah. It was just... not even like the Thorns, like, which frankly, if we want this league to grow, it's not by the Thorns continuing to do incredible attendance-wise and exposure-wise. Like, we're going to be there, but we need places like Sky Blue and stuff. Like, they need to start whoring that team out. You know, well, that's not a great choice. They need to start... you know what I mean, though, right? So it's one of those...
Please send all angry tweets to Philip Android.
yeah, rambling hot take. It's one of the they need more people to start following the league, and in all of these narratives that they're coming out, like does soccer matter? They're not discussing that, and they're not talking about the game too much. It's just like a broader thing. Like, did you know that some people play soccer in America?
Yeah. And that was the part that bothered me, is that they'll have that whole tired narrative going, and then they'll follow it up with in-depth analysis about the hot dog eating contest. And I'm just sitting there shaking my head the whole time. Like, I'm so angry. I wanted to be that guy that, like, pulls over, calls in, and just reams this dude. But luckily... there was a Galaxy season ticket holder that called in, and bless this kid's heart, because he tried to, like, he was some 20-year-old kid, and he was, like, trying to explain to him why he is a Galaxy season ticket holder. And the guy's angle, I mean, obviously it was just a talking point that was handed to him, but he was like, we need big-name international players to make this league matter. To really draw attention. We need, like, the Beckhams and blah, blah, blah. And so they take this call, and the Galaxy season ticket holder, he's sitting there, he's like, oh, yeah, I'm a season ticket holder for the Galaxy, blah, 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 blah. And then the guy goes, hey, before you get started, who's the biggest name on the LA Galaxy? And this kid goes, Robbie Keane. And... I kid you not, the radio host said, see, that's my point. Nobody knows who that is. We need big-name international talent.
Well, Robbie Keane's the unnamed fan that was pictured with... Oh, this is hilarious, because I'm forgetting the guy he was photoed with.
It was... I think it might have been Beckham, wasn't it? I can't remember.
Was it Beckham? I think it was Beckham. I just love that I forgot who he was photoed with. It's a nice twist. But, poor Robbie Keane. Who scored a hat trick the other day. Funny.
As if he doesn't qualify for an international star. I mean, the dude has scored 65 goals for the Republic of Ireland.
his numbers in the MLS are ridiculous as well. Like, yeah, no, it's... Oh my gosh, that's...
But that's
he also signed for Liverpool and played really poorly, which made me happy as an Everton fan.
That just shows you, though, like, that's the American mindset, is, like, Robbie Keane is an amazing athlete. He is a legend. But ultimately, he means jack squat to American sports fans, because we're in the post-Michael Jordan world where, unless he has his own personal brand, right, like, he's a nobody.
And unless he marries a Spice Girl.
Exactly, and it's just... Ugh. Anyway. And so then... And then this kid, who I don't even know who this kid was, but I'm giving him a major shout-out because he handled it perfectly. He said... He goes, you need to be on the lookout. Write this name down. You need to write it down. Zardes.
Oh, he's Jossie, man.
And I was like, yes! Yes! Because he's, like, homegrown player, you know. He's playing for the national team, and he is just tearing it up right now. He's like, you need to watch out for Zardes. Like, it will change your opinion. So, but yeah, there's my... I didn't want to get into it, but there it is. That's why I hate it when America does well in the World Cup. Because then people on the radio feel the need to cover it. To get a ratings boost, to, you know, ride off of that, and they always just, you know.
They half-ass it. They don't do any real due diligence. They use all the buzzwords, take a couple calls, and, like, giggle at how quaint it is, and move on.
Yeah.
Or you get assholes like Frank DeFord on NPR. Oh, Frank DeFord. I hate Frank DeFord. Who just gets off on you know, I haven't heard anything negative since the, you know, since the World Cup yet, but I know it's coming. Anytime he gets a chance to slam on soccer, he'll do it. He's just the most curmudgeonly old hater ever.
Yeah.
And oh, Frank DeFord. I can't stand that guy. And I know he does it on purpose. He does it just to rile all the soccer lovers up. But just because you know someone's a troll doesn't mean he doesn't actually get under your skin. It's the anyway.
So let's actually just talk about it since no one's gonna do it.
None of the major U.S. media. There's a lot of soccer media that's doing good work. They're saying good stuff. And then there's us.
Yeah, the U.S. women's soccer team knocked it out of the park.
Oh my god, it's ridiculous. Like there are so many record-breaking, unprecedented things about this game. The most goals ever scored, the first time there's a hat-trick in the final, the fastest hat. Like, there's so many. It's one of those things where it's like you're at the beginning of the season, and everyone does, like, oh, that's the first time this happened this season, that's the first time this happened. Like, everything that you do is the first time it's happened. It feels like, you know, like, how many records broken early on. It feels a little, I don't want to say cheap, but everything the U.S. women did this game, I feel like they were breaking records. Like, they came out perfect. And it hurts because I didn't see the first 15 minutes of a game. Which, if you saw the game or heard about it, you know that's the ridiculous moment. I came in at minute 16 and was like, what? Like, no. Like, how is this? I can't. I just kind of muttered to myself for a couple minutes while I was, like, trying to find replays on my phone while I watched it, and ended up just finally, like, waiting till half and just watching the replay, and I was just like, holy hell. Best goal ever to steal off a hat trick.
Right. I mean, can we just say that it's ridiculous enough to score a hat trick in a World Cup final, but
which has only been done once before, and this is including the men's World Cup, and this was in 1966. That's how long it's been since it's been done either way on men or women's World Cup final.
But to do it from the center circle?
Oh my god!
I don't even know. You just have to enjoy it.
Oh yeah, so and the thing is, I mean, so like to take nothing away from Lloyd or the U.S. The Sun was severely. It's in BC Place. It's pretty slant. Like, what am I struggling to say here?
Sucky. Depending on the shadows are terrible.
It's aggressively in the face of one team. So, you know, the Japanese keeper got cut off the line. Like, to take nothing away from that half-field goal, if that Sun wasn't in her face as much, like, I don't know if that goes in, but also Lloyd must have known that, right? Saw her off the line, known that the Sun must have been her face, and just took a shot on it. Like, it's flabbergasted by that performance. Mm-hmm. Like, it's insane. Gosh, the first goal, jumping outside of the foot, like, left foot vault, like, oh my god, I have no words. I start thinking about it, and I just, like, get giddy and excited, you know?
Straight up beautiful. I mean, that's really all that you can say. I mean, for Carly Lloyd to play like that in any game is memorable and amazing. To put it on that stage is just unreal.
In that situation, yeah, no, she absolutely brought it. Like, and frankly, like, that's the best. Like, who, men or women, had a better World Cup performance than that right there?
Yeah.
like, it's honestly, like, I don't know, you know, like, I love the hashtag play like a girl.
Yeah,
right. That, apparently playing like a girl means scoring a hat trick in the World Cup final. Like,
right.
Yeah, and the moment the final whistle blew, it was, I didn't know what to do with my hands. there was a guttural yelp that escaped my, you know, I'm sitting in where we usually record, watching it over the air, and I was just like, it's funny because people say like on the edge of the seat, but I was like literally on the edge of the seat, like kind of crouched forward, and then just you know, like I don't even know what noise it was. It was like a happy girl scream, and my hands just did the full like jello fist pumping. Like I'm very happy. I'm very happy, and
it was a great moment. And to be honest, you know, the other storyline, right, for the whole World Cup was Abby Wambach.
Yep.
And, yeah.
Who is an amazing super sub when she comes in, like, honestly?
Like, yeah, I mean, like...
That's the role that she should have had. And when they started doing that and they shifted the dynamic of the team, that's when they started performing. Mm. The interesting, actually, the parallel that I was thinking about... because there have been some people talking about whether or not Ellis keeps her job to coach, because, you know, she won the World Cup, right? So, like, on one hand, you can't take that away from her. You know, like, they peaked at the right time. She made the changes to the 4-3-3, like, later than she should have, but the changes were made. They got lucky, they got through, and people are saying, you know, for the future of the program, it might be better if she moves on. And I was like, wait, why does this sound so damn familiar? I was like, oh, wait, Cindy Parlow-Cohn with the Thorns.
Right.
Who,
it must be a Warsaw thing, tell, right? Where it's like, oh, this coach gave us a championship, so we should ship him out.
Well, it's a lot of the same parallels, though. Like, as far as, like, you know, she was a great person. She had some, you know, very nice. Yeah, nothing against her personally, but tactically, it's like, what are you doing? You know, like, there were so many moments where I'm just like, I wonder if she could actually even, like, tell me what system she's trying to run. You know, like, it reminded me of Spencer a lot, too, right? But, like, she got through, we went on the back of some amazing players. We had players good enough to win despite a lack of tactical awareness. And before Cohn ended up resigning in her own right, there was talk of like, hey, are we going to get, is it wrong that I don't want Cohn to be the coach anymore? You know, like she just got us a championship, but it's not because she outcoached everyone. And then, you know, the situation kind of handled itself, when she stepped down for family reasons. But a lot of this conversation sounds incredibly similar. Which I'm assuming will only lead to Paul Riley taking the U.S. He just comes in similar situations. You know, he was linked to the U.S. women's job before Joe Ellis got it. So,
well, I don't know. I think there's a little bit of a I think there's a little bit of a cultural aspect too in the world of soccer tactics, because you know what, 5 years ago, five to ten years ago, it was all about, you know, quick passes and make it beautiful. Bring back the beautiful game. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, right now, you know, we're not... we're seeing teams win who don't do that, to put it lightly, you know?
Well, and it's interesting, though, because people have learned to adjust to and react to the tiki-taka possession-based game, which is kind of... It's the fast counterattack. You know, it's really. I was listening to a really great interview. I think it was the Soccer Made in Portland when they talked to Porter. Shout out to Soccer Made in Portland, by the way. Big fan of what you guys do. But there was an incredibly interesting interview that he had with Porter about how systems evolve. You know, you get these popular systems based on beautiful passing, possession, and stuff like that. And then they dominate for a while because they're new. And then once people start to learn how to play against them, that knowledge suddenly becomes, everyone has it, right? Because the connected world that we live in, you got game tape, you can see what's successful, and then all of a sudden everyone knows how to do it. You get into the stalemate of the people still trying to push the old system that was the new system until very recently, and then you get people who are successfully running a counter system, and that, it's all a big cycle. So, like, it's...
Yeah, and so right now, I mean, a lot of the criticisms that I saw were along the lines of, like, I hope Ellis getting this win isn't further justification for boring football.
Well,
and I mean, I think that's a little bit harsh.
I think so, because I mean, look at the type of football they're playing near the end. Yeah. That was not boring. Like, that was dynamic. It was attacking. It was great. It just took her longer to shift to that than it should have. But, and I think part of that too is, you know, trying to running with Wambach, which is many amazing thing as she's done for the national team. Her continuously trying to be forced as a figurehead of it has really kind of hurt the dynamic of the team. The way they play is a lot of hoofing it over the top and having her try to get on the end of it, which when we use our pieces right, we don't have to do that, and we play much better, as is shown by how well the women started doing once they kind of shifted away from that. So, but America, fuck yeah, man. Like, it's...
that's what it all comes down to, right?
It's I loved watching the tournament as much. I didn't get a chance to watch as much as I wanted to. I'm actually going to go... I'm going to try and watch some of the highlights, recaps of a lot of the games. And because I really wanted to watch more than I did. But, you know, it's one of those things, like, I really loved watching all the play. It was great. The quality was definitely there. But the biggest takeaway, it's the feeling of winning a World Cup as an American. Like, it's, you know, I didn't remember the last time we got one. Honestly, I remember.
You don't remember Brandi Chastain?
Well, I mean, I remember the buzz around it, but.
I mean, that was like that was the first time I ever like really enjoyed watching soccer. Was that game? And then when the University of Portland won the national championship, those two events were like the biggest. Like, that's why I'm into WOSOs, because like the two biggest moments like as a kid that brought me into soccer were women's soccer moments. You know, so
you know, I remember
the 99ers and the Pilots, man.
So when in 99, I was, what, 10, I think, if we're going to do the math. And,
okay, so, all right. I wasn't really that aware of the world around 10, so I'll give you a break.
You know, I remember Gatorade commercials with me and him and Michael Jordan.
Okay.
You know, anything you can do, I can do better, all that. You know, and it's one of those things, you know, once I got older, once I started watching soccer, I went back and watched a lot of that. That's my battery, that's getting low, so if you hear that beep on the recording, it's because my phone's about to die. You know, so it's one of those things, I don't remember when we won it last. You know, is someone who initially at least only followed the men's game before starting to pay attention to women's soccer, which has been amazing and incredible. I have a lot of, you know, that as much as you want to believe that the U.S. men's are going to win a World Cup in our lifetime, you know, it's one of those things, like, it's a pipe dream. You know, like, it will happen one day, I'm sure, and it'll be great. And I would love to be wrong when I say that, you know, it's not super realistic. So I have a lot of that embedded in my disbelief that the U.S. can win a World Cup. And I know it doesn't directly always translate great over the women's game, because obviously we've won two. Now we're on our third. I don't know what to do with my hands. You know, I'm just so happy about it.
Well, I will say this. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a shift from the Jurgen mindset of, you need to play outside of the United States to be fresh and to be able to play at the on the international level. Because to be honest, look at Abby Wambach. Why can't I say her name? Anyway, she didn't play domestic soccer at all. Like, she opted
she's
out.
She's the only one, though. She was, like, the only exception that was made, because it was a mandate that you had to, unless you're Abby Wambach. So...
And how'd that work out for her?
You know what? Honestly, she got a goal. I mean, she missed a PK. But she got a goal. Played a lot of minutes. And came away with winning the World Cup. I mean, like... It didn't... It's one of those things where... She had an all right World Cup. I mean, relatively speaking, I suppose.
Yeah.
I'm just also really glad that she's the only one that didn't play. That she was the only one that they let that shit fly for. Because honestly, I don't even want to think about it, because I just remember, like, before the World Cup, like, I remember just thinking, like, how unfair it was. You know, the disparity between the rest of the team and everything. But anyway, I cut you off a second ago.
No, but then I mean also. Another comparison would be Yedlin and Dempsey, right? The difference between those two players in the game most recently. I think, you know, one's domestic getting minutes, another one's abroad not.
But, you know, from what I heard, though, he got played in the midfield. It's funny, because he got played in the midfield in a full 90. Instead of being that super sub fast thing off the wings, it'll be interesting to see what he does if he goes alone. There's talk, you know, Norwich, I think, is there saying that they're hoping to try to get Yedlin on a loan. It's honestly regular minutes. Like, it's on one hand, I can totally understand the benefit of learning and practicing with some really high class players. So even just being at Tottenham and being that setup, they're very good at what they do, right? So, you know, as far as training, as far as facilities, as far as culture and all that stuff goes in the locker, like, they're more advanced than maybe what he's going to get to Sounders. But something being said for regular minutes playing in competitive matches. And it's the same with Abby. You know, like, she looked rusty. And... she would have been playing minutes, you know, like, even if they just managed her minutes well during the season, so she would be fresh for the World Cup, which is what she wanted to be. Regular playing time, there's definitely something to be said for it. But won a World Cup, so you know, now I'm giving passes to everyone.
Yeah, she got her World Cup. You know, she was able to come out or be subbed on in the last, you know, in the winning minutes. You know, it's, who cares?
Yeah. You know, and honestly, I mean, look at her record, and now most goals ever, and now she got a World Cup win. I mean, it's funny because it's the frustration that I have with Abby. I really only kind of surfaced recently, and especially, you know, she's been on record as sounding pretty entitled about being on this team, instead of, like, if I get selected through hard work, it's like, well, when I get called up after not playing, you know, the sticking to her when we should be shifting to a more dynamic style of play. It's only kind of recent, because honestly, look at her record, look at everything she's done for this country, look at her, she's an amazing player. I just really hope she has the grace to bow out and let someone else come to the fore in the Olympics. She's talking about wanting to stay on for the Olympics, and if it's at the cost of bringing in another player into the loop, you know, like, starting to progress away from this old guard of players who just got us a World Cup, right? Like, nothing against them. But if we don't develop younger players and push them and try to develop, we're going to get left behind. Which at times it felt like was going to happen during this World Cup. So, all the love to Abby in the world. But, you know, let's sit this one out.
Right.
You know, there's rumors of her being linked to a Swedish team. I just saw earlier.
Yeah. She needs to retire on top.
Yeah.
Take your trophy and go home.
Yeah. I mean, Holiday retired.
And I'm saying that as somebody who loves her, right? Like, she...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, despite the kind of the crappy moments she had during this tournament...
Yeah.
Like, she's still the greatest American player, man or woman, of all time.
I mean, 100%. She got a home in Portland. Like, she's, you know, like...
That's
she
all that needs to be said.
Knows what's a good city to live in. Like, it's...
Yeah.
You know what? And Abby, if you're listening to this, we'd love to have you on the show. Next time you're in Portland, because obviously you got a house here, come on by. I'll have you, we'll get your take on it.
For sure.
So, we're going to tweet the link of this show to Abby.
That goes for pretty much any soccer player in, the United States. If they want to come on the show, go for it.
Especially Michelle Bateaux.
Yes. Michelle Bateaux would be a great guest.
Yeah, I'd be, oh my God. I would not do it with my hands. I'd be so excited. I'd give her another scarf.
So match is coming up this weekend. Looks like a pretty crappy week for soccer. We're going to follow up, like, a really great week with, to be honest, the only match that I'm interested in watching next week would be Vancouver and Sporting Kansas City.
That's going to be a hell of a game.
Yeah, Sunday.
And it's going to have a lot of points. It's the fact that they're both in the same conference now. Like, with how well Vancouver's finally playing this year, like, finally saying, like, they haven't been all year. I mean, like, this year compared to seasons past when they haven't quite been clicking. They're a great team, and Kansas City, I think, has the best points per game in the league. They're phenomenal. That four that they brought in, is it Nemec? I think so. He's been incredible. That's actually going to be a really interesting game. This is going to be another weekend when I probably won't be able to watch any. Kind of getting married on Saturday. Yeah.
And I'm going to end up having to be at Ron Tom's.
Well, the thing is, so the Timbers game is going to be at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Thankfully, getting married at a brewery that has TVs. So yes. The wedding is going to get done pretty much right at 4. Maybe 4:30, but we will...
I will say this, the last time I went to a wedding instead of a Timbers game, the Timbers lost, and that was to San Jose. So...
Well, it's not like you were going to travel to Philly.
It's 100%. It's 100% loss. The Timbers lose 100% of the time when I go to a wedding instead. So, just saying.
Well, did you get to watch the game last time?
I ran in and watched parts. I think mostly stoppage time, yeah.
Because we're going to have them have it on the TV right outside, like 10 feet away from where the room is. It's going to be on the TV on one screen, and then on the other, we're going to try and get them to put the Thorns game on, which I think starts at the same time.
You're a good man, Phil. You are a good man.
When we scheduled this, we had to pick a date that we wanted to rent the space before we saw the schedule, which honestly could have been a Seattle home. Like, we didn't know. So, you know, we were like, okay, we need to pick a date, and we don't have a soccer schedule, and that takes up so much of our time and schedule and the schedule of all of our friends and loved ones that we're rolling the dice, and we got lucky that it's Philly away and not Seattle home. So, so it's going to be on outside the room, but I probably won't be able to watch it because I'll be doing photos in the afterglow of the wedding. It's going to be great. It's going to be amazing. If the Timbers could do me a solid and get a win, I would accept that as a present. If we don't win, I will accept an apology from the whole team if they want to come visit me.
Yeah.
And be on the podcast.
Yeah, they all have to apologize one by one on our podcast. That's the
rule. On the podcast. I'm not gonna demand the jerseys off their back, right?
Yeah.
But
anyway, yeah, so the one thing we didn't talk about, and we probably won't talk about because we're running out of time, was the Portland Chainsaw Massacre. And I realized we haven't we haven't recorded since then.
It's been a long time. And we were on a roll too.
So what we're gonna do then is you're actually gonna send me the recording of the Adi's second goal.
Right? Yes. So I
did you delete it?
It's too bad because the visual. We actually might need to find a place to host it. Initially, my thoughts were, I was going to throw together a piece, host the things on Czechoslovakia. Under a thing entitled $2 Words, because I kind of think I think that's a perfect title. It works on a couple different levels. I love it.
Yeah.
And then obviously I got distracted. So I'm going to put a pin in that. We're going to come back to that later. But I will try to send the files to you and the audio so we can listen to it. Because
what I'm thinking, instead of just talking about it, like, we'll just end this podcast with the audio from that game.
It's gonna oh my god, it's just thinking back on it.
Yeah,
and I think I took like 10 videos,
and I think that's really where it's gonna be at. Like that will be a good way to ending this podcast. Yeah, and also shout out to Rachel Panetta.
Oh my gosh! The great thing about that is, so that video that she posted of her with the selfie stick recording while Adi scored, she's looking back at the crowd. But like, I have the other side of that. So the video that I took that I had rolling while Adi scored, I got it on camera. It's amazing. Gives the other perspective of it, which is great. So my phone's about to die, but I will make sure to send that video over to Senor Chuckles, and we'll let the sweet sounds of the Chainsaw Massacre see us out.
Yes, sounds good, man. And see you this weekend at your wedding.
Yeah, and maybe Mike will pull out his phone with Periscope. Probably not, because I don't know how... My bride-to-be is pretty understanding, but...
that understanding.
But she's pretty understanding, but I don't know if I wanted to try to make a podcast on the day of our wedding. It might be a while until we record again, because I'm taking 8 days off as part of the honeymoon.
Yeah.
Going down to Southern Oregon, so it's going to be great. So it'll be a while, but until then, keep it classy, Rose City, and...
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess now is the part where we would play the sounds from the game.
All right, man. Well, peace out. Right. Later.
Right. Have a good one. Bye.